Good morning. Today's scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 8, 28 through 30. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. This is God's word for us today. You can take a seat.
Good morning. My name is Jason, one of the pastors here at Grace. And it's an honor, as always, to open up God's word with you this morning. It's going to help you and me if you open to the scriptures yourself, either on your device or in your paper copy, to Romans chapter 8. As we continue to go through Romans 8 and talk about what it means to be more than a conqueror. When we talk about Christianity, when we talk about faith, when we talk about spiritual things, we throw around the words salvation and saved very often. But the question should raise to our mind, and it probably comes to the mind of people that don't know Christ or don't know religious things. What do we mean when we say salvation and saved? Not just answering the question, what are we saved from? But this morning we're going to try to answer the question, what are we saved for? And what are we saved to? What is God's plan for us right here, right now in his salvation? That's what we're hoping to look into today. So Mark just read for us Romans 8, 28 through 30. Specifically, we're going to take a look at 29 and 30, but it's also in the context of that verse 28. So as we look at Romans 8, 28 through 30, in 29 we read, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." Take note of two words. There's a lot going on here. We're going to cover all of it, but specifically we're going to focus in and highlight on two words. The first one is foreknew, and the second one is predestined. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. So our task here this morning, and why I said it's going to help you and me to open up the scriptures, is that we have 27 minutes and 58 seconds to figure out what it means that you were foreknew and predestined. No, this is by design. We're doing fine. The design of this morning is that we would worship God in a number of ways, and we're going to close our service today worshiping him in song once again. But as we open up the scriptures, we find two words, and a brother last week called this a $5 seminary word. These are the kind of words that maybe we've heard, maybe we've thrown out there, and we have a vague notion, maybe, of what they mean. Yet Paul is using them in a very important way here today. So let's talk about these two words and what they mean, not just theologically, but for you and me today. So foreknew means to know in advance. To know in advance. Predestined mean has a plan for. Has a plan for. So let's dig into each one. Foreknew. Foreknew. Knew in advance. The focus this morning and the focus of this scripture is not just on the mechanics of salvation. It's not just on the mechanics of salvation. Often we hear these words as deep theological conversations start taking place as people speculate and write about theologically what it means to be foreknew and predestined. And often we go over these verses and we try to figure out the mechanics of our salvation. So when did God foreknow? What exactly did he foreknow? Did he foreknow lots of people would be saved, but he wasn't sure who? Did he foreknow us specifically by name? And we start getting into the deep waters theologically. I put up here on the slide our statement from our church's theological distinctives. This is what we say about salvation. We believe that salvation can only be obtained through God's grace, not by our own good works. Only by repenting and personally receiving through faith the substitutional act of Jesus Christ dying for our sins can we obtain justification before God. All who receive Christ are forever secure in their salvation, and it cannot be taken away. In this statement, I want us to take note of two things: what it does say and what it doesn't say. While this is wordy and there's some $5 seminary words in there like justification, it's distinct for what it does say and what it doesn't say. These are the things that we believe the Bible is absolutely clear on. But the things it leaves out are the things that we don't think the Bible is absolutely clear on. So these are the things that we think are most clear and most important to believe about the mechanics of our salvation. So as we look at these verses, we could focus on the mechanics of our salvation. Also, another mistake that we can make is we can focus on us, trying to figure out, when did God know me? Did he know me? Can I lose my salvation? What did he predestine me to? What does it mean to be conformed into the image of God? What does it mean that I'm called? And while that's a good outflow of today, and hopefully we're going to leave here with some personal application, that's not Paul's focus here today. The focus that Paul has in all of his writings, but specifically here in Romans 8 and in this section, is on the God who foreknew you. The focus is on the God who foreknew you. And if we miss it because we're trying to figure out the mechanics, or if we're too focused on ourselves, we'll miss the picture of God that Paul is giving us here. So foreknew and then predestined. He has a plan for us. And what is that plan? Have you ever wondered that? What is God's plan? Especially when we suffer, we're not sure of the future. We're like, what is God's plan? Well, here, Paul says for us, his plan is to conform us into the image of his son. To conform us into the image of his son. This is the best possible plan that God would have for you. When we say that we're saved or we have salvation, often we mean we're saved from hell and going to heaven someday. Absolutely true. But Paul wants us to focus here on the fact that we are saved to a life that is conformed into the image of Jesus. The best plan that the Heavenly Father can have for you, the best thing that he can call you to, is to make you more like his perfect son. That's his plan for you. Note that this plan is not just to save you from hell, not just to give you a more comfortable life, not just to help you self-actualize and find your purpose or your identity. Those are all outflows. Those are all fruits of it. But ultimately, he is conforming you to the image of his son. And how is he going to do this? Look in the scriptures with me. He conforms us into the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So what is he talking about here? He's saying that we have an inheritance to be conformed to Christ because Christ is our older brother. Christ is our older brother. It's important that we understand the way things worked in the time of Paul and most ancient civilizations, because it's not the same way that an inheritance works now. If a loved one passes away and leaves us an inheritance, they give certain instructions. And this person gets this, and this sibling gets this, and this sibling gets this. And it depends on what our loved one decided to leave to us in their will. This is not the way things were in ancient times, in Bible times, in Jesus' time. Everything was left to the oldest son, and things were distributed through him, or everyone lived in his household anyway, and so he took care of everything. So what Paul wants us to envision here and to accept the reality of is our inheritance is found in our firstborn, our oldest sibling, and that's Jesus. Newsflash, he's a better sibling than your siblings, right? I don't know your family, but he is better than all of your siblings. Imagine your oldest sibling being in charge of the inheritance and determining what you get. The oldest children are happy right now, and everyone else like, oh no. It's because your oldest sibling is not perfect. When Paul says that God has a plan that he foreknew and he predestined you, he's conforming you into the image of his son, and he is giving you everything that belonged to Christ. That's an inheritance. For us to fully be able to identify with Christ, Christ first had to fully identify with us, but be different than us. He had to be worthy. He had to be without sin. Because if your older brother's in charge of the inheritance and he's wicked and selfish, that's not going to benefit you. But if Jesus is your older brother, you get everything that's his, which is everything. Amazing what Paul is saying here. Jesus himself puts it this way in John chapter 6. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. Jesus isn't going to lose anything. It all belongs to the Father. He gave it to the Son. And in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, is in his ascension, into the because of the intercession he is doing for you right now, you have everything. We're being conformed into the image of him, and our inheritance is found in him. A quick note about these words that we see here at the end of the passage, that we have been predestined, called, justified, glorified. Again, some big seminary words here. We've been predestined. We've talked about that. We've been called. We've been justified. We've been glorified. We talked about predestined. We've talked a little bit about what it means to be called. Justified means made right. We're made right with God through the work of Christ, and then glorified. That's when we are in our perfect body, and there's a new heavens and a new earth, and we're with God forever as Christ is right now. Notice, though, that these four words are all in the past tense. And this is not some kind of English trickery. In the Greek, the original language it was written in, these are also past tense. I love English. My grammar's bad, but I love English. You may or may not love English, but one thing that's important for us to know as Jesus followers and Bible readers is that there is a tense in Scripture and in the things of God and in the holy Scriptures of God that doesn't exist anywhere else. That tense, that English tense, is called prophetic past. Prophetic past. And the reason that it's in Scripture and not in Jane Austen or anywhere else is that when God writes it or God says it, it's done. No one else can do that. No author, no human, no pastor, no prognosticator, no guru can say that something is and then it is. But we worship the God who spoke everything into existence. So when he says that we are predestined, we are called, we are justified, we are glorified, it is as good as done. So, what difference does this make for our life? Five things, five reasons that this is not just a theological conversation, but this makes a difference for our everyday life, the truths that we've talked about today. First, your salvation is secure. Jesus in John 6 says, I will not lose any that the Father has given me. Your salvation, your eternal security is not found in your ability to hold on to anything. It's found in the finished work of Christ. And rest assured, brother, sister, if you are saved, if you know Jesus, if his Holy Spirit is in you, if your glorification is as good as done, if there is any way for you to lose your salvation, you would. And so would I. You've already blown it. Whether you asked Jesus to come into your life and started following him yesterday or 70 years ago, you're toast on your own merits. There's nothing that you can do to earn it. There's nothing you can do to make up for all the bad. If you could lose your salvation, you would have. Because the fact of the matter is, you didn't save you. Any faith, any theological understanding, any testimony that we heard here this morning, any supernatural thing that took place, the unblinding of your eyes, the sermon that you heard, the person that shared their faith with you in your dorm, all an act of God. It is what is absolutely distinct, awesome, and praiseworthy about our God. He doesn't say, I'm up here, hopefully you make it. He says, I have a plan for you to save you, to call you, to justify you, to glorify you. And that's our next point that makes a difference. God has a plan. God had a plan. God has a plan for you. He had a plan for you. I had the opportunity to meet with a couple of brothers last week. We were talking about getting a new community group started. And one of them, I didn't know his testimony, and he was sharing his testimony with me. He said he grew up a religious person. He knew facts about God. He had church education. He had heard teachings about who God was. But at some point in his adult life, he just stopped going to the church that he belonged to. And then 12, 13 years ago, he had a near-death experience. He had such a fever to the point they had to pack him in ice to bring the fever down. And they really didn't know if he would come out of it. And as he's packed in ice, he said that Jesus spoke to him and said, "You don't know me, but I know you." He grew up in the church. He heard about who God is. He went through Christian education classes, but at that moment, he knew he didn't really know God, but he also realized that God knew him. That's our story. And there's no other religion like it. There's no other testimony like it. Every other testimony we could give, any other faith we could belong to, is a testimony of how I found God. But we serve a good God who foreknew and predestined and called you. God has a plan. And what is his plan? To conform you into the image of his Son through justification, making you right with God, sanctification, having you grow in holiness as you're conformed into his image. Scholar F.F. Bruce says that sanctification is glory begun in you. Glory begun in you. Because you're also glorified. God has a plan and had a plan. Third, what difference does it make? You can endure trials. Open with me to Romans 8:22, just back a little bit. We covered this a couple of weeks ago when we talked about suffering. We can endure trials. Romans 8:22, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. We groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. you can endure trials because you know that nothing that's happening in your life is an accident or slipped by the plan, the foreknowledge of God. He uses the metaphor here, the pains of childbirth. Imagine going through the pains of childbirth and not knowing where it would lead. Unfortunately, that is a sad story that happens, but women go through the pain of childbirth because they know it will produce something. They know that good will come out of it. And it is a miraculous thing to watch your wife give birth and be in the pains of childbirth, pain like none other, and then immediately have joy. Immediately go from tears of pain to tears of joy. And then, for some reason, some of them sign up to do it again. And they may even say, "Why did I do this again?" We have three babies in this church due this week, and they're all in the same community group. So this is hitting hard for them, I think. Why did I sign up for this again? Because of the joy set before them. The hope of birth. It's for the joy set before him that Christ endured the cross. So we can endure. Romans 8:17, we talked about this. Brooks preached on this a couple of weeks ago. Starting in verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided that we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Your suffering is not outside of the foreknowledge and the predestination of God. We think in our moments of trial and suffering, how could God let this happen? Jesus had some similar thoughts. And in the garden, he said, if there's any other way, please, let's take that way. You can endure trials because you're being conformed into the image of his son. And for the joy set before him, he endured the cross so we can endure what is in front of us. Fourth, you are being conformed. Folks, there's a plan. Isn't that good news? I question if there's a plan. I had a plan for my kids. My kids are awesome. They're more amazing than I could ever imagine. And the strengths and the abilities that God has given them, the things that they are intelligent in that I am not, just the way that they love well. There's so many great things about my kids, but they have not gone according to plan. And I mean this in the most superficial way possible. Because when my kids were born, I intellectually knew that babies come out as babies, but I was very disappointed when my son did not play soccer with me on day one. Wait a minute. You're not ready to play soccer? We can't talk theology yet? What is going on? This isn't going according to plan. I also had a plan that when we went on vacation, that all of our family would just read books on vacation. That in the car, they would quietly read their books, and then we would get to a nice cabin with a stream going by and a fireplace in the fireplace, and everyone would read books. Things didn't quite go according to plan. Some of that is my own selfish expectations and narrow sighted vision of things, but some of it is I'm a human, just like you. We have all kinds of plans. I have plans for this afternoon. I have plans for tomorrow. I have plans for a year from now and 5 years from now and 10 years from now. And I have no idea how they will all turn out. When we hear that God has a plan to conform us into the image of his son, he's not leaving anything to chance. And if he plans it, not only will he do it, he's already done it. God has a plan for you and for me, and it is a good plan. If we back up to verse 28 in Romans 8, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. for those who are called according to his purpose. What is that good? Dr. Gilbaugh walked us through the definition of this Greek word is to have the right constitution, the character, the nature of a thing. He works all things together for good. And what is that good? To conform you into the image and the likeness of his son. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Paul puts it very bluntly and clearly in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the will of God is that you would become holy. That is the work that he is doing in you that is good as done because it rests on his son. When Jesus endured the cross because of the joy set before him on that cross, he said, "It is finished." Your salvation, your sanctification, your glorification, finished. That is the God we worship, and that is the God who foreknew and predestined you to be conformed into the image of his son. Our last application point we're going to do right now, this morning. We're going to worship him and we're going to behold the God who foreknew you. To behold means to stop, take notice, and then respond. I miss all kinds of things. I was at my favorite coffee shop this week and realized that they painted the station where you return your dishes pink. And I said, "When did that happen?" And they said, "Over a year ago." Someone in our office has a huge dinosaur Lego Tyrannosaurus Rex in his office. I have no idea how long it's been there. I just noticed it for the first time. We miss all kinds of things. This morning, we are going to behold. We are going to stop. We are going to notice. We're going to respond to the God who foreknew and predestined us. And he has a plan, and his plan is as good as done. Would you stand with me? Let's worship the Lord in song. God, we praise you because you are our living hope. We praise you because you are a God who foreknows, predestines us to be made into the image and likeness of your Son. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, your foreknowledge. Thank you that you are alive and well. Thank you that through Christ, it is finished. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, be all honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Go in grace and we'll see you soon.